I believe that. Good morning, church. We're going to be in the book of John, chapter 3 today, if you'll turn with me there. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. I hope you have your Bibles with you. If you don't, there's Bibles in each seat. Please feel free to take one up and read along in the scriptures with us today. The title of this morning's sermon is Born of Water and of Spirit. Born of Water and of Spirit. And it's a quote from this passage here in John chapter 3 that we're going to be looking at. I'm going to begin reading with verse 1, but I'd like to have a word of prayer to begin. Let's bow our heads. Lord, your Holy Spirit, come down and take this word that you have given us and bless it and expand it and multiply it so that it might be effectual today for the salvation of our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, the Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.'" Now, I take note of passages like this because it's pretty serious when Jesus says, if you don't do this, you're not going to heaven. Unless this is part of your experience, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. For me, on a scale of 1 to 10, this is a 10. This is, you know, rating how serious certain scripture passages is. This is pretty serious. Jesus is basically saying to us, look, you need to understand what this is because this is so important, it can keep you out of heaven. And I certainly do not want to be kept out of heaven, do you? So I want to understand what this means today. I want to really get this because I want to be sure. I want to be certain. I want to know what this Bible passage means because Jesus is giving a warning. And he's giving it to a pretty smart guy. I mean, this is a religious leader. So we're going to look at these two things, and there are two elements to his warning. The first element is we need to be born of water. And the second element is we need to be born of the Spirit. So I think it would make sense for us to start with, what does it mean in the Bible to be born of water? What is Jesus talking about? Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 3. The book of Matthew chapter 3. What does it mean to be born of water? Because I want to make sure that I'm born of water. And as a pastor, I want to be sure that you also are born of water. The book of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Let's see. Our example, Jesus. Was Jesus born of water? I'm going to actually begin with verse 13 in this passage. The book of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me." But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So Jesus comes to John the Baptist, who is doing something amazing. He's baptizing people. Now, in Jewish tradition, It was part of their faith, part of their process of bringing new people, bringing Gentiles into the Jewish faith. Part of that process was to take a Gentile and to baptize them, symbolically cleansing them of their sin, cleansing them of the world, and allowing them to be clean and able to become a part of the children of Israel. It's really part of the Jewish culture also. Because if you became unclean in the Jewish culture, if you happened to touch a dead animal, or if you happened to have, you went to war and blood got on you, the Bible says that before you could come in the city, you had to stay out till evening, and the Bible says that you would wash. You would go down to the river and you would submerge yourself and you would take a shower, you would take a bath. You needed to be clean before you could come into the camp of Israel. And so baptism was used as a rite to spiritually clean Gentiles so that they could become a part of the Jewish culture. But here's the thing. John the Baptist turns around and he calls the Jewish people to be baptized. He calls the Jewish people to be clean. And Jesus himself comes and he also is baptized. Jesus says, "I've come to be born of water." And John wants to stop him. Are you crazy? Do you know who you are? You're the Messiah. You're the Holy One. I need to be baptized. I'm the one who needs to be clean, not you. And Jesus says, no, this is to fulfill all righteousness. And so John says, okay, this is what you want, Lord. I'll do it. I obey you. And he baptizes him. Jesus was born of water. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 8. What we find in the Gospels, turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 8. What we find in the Gospels is that all the Jewish people came out to John to be baptized. The disciples of Jesus themselves were, many of them, disciples of John. They were baptized. Jesus went about, and he didn't baptize, but his disciples baptized many people. There was a work of cleansing and of baptism, of being born of water that was happening. A movement to invite people to be born of water during the time of Jesus. But what about the Gentiles? In the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, were they baptized? And what did it look like? We saw Jesus coming up out of the water. Let's look at Philip in John chapter 8. I'm going to actually begin reading with verse 36. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" He had been studying the Bible, learning about Jesus in the book of Isaiah. And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." I just love that, by the way. I mean, just what a faith statement is that, right? Could it be any clearer, any more bold, any more powerful and audacious? He just comes out and says, "I believe." And so 38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Twice we see a picture in the Bible of going down into the water to be baptized. Because baptism was an event. Baptism was a spiritual activity that was done in deep water. John baptized in a river. And here again, the eunuch this Ethiopian brother and Philip, they find deep water and they go down into the water. And the Bible says that people were baptized in deep water. Why? Because in their cleansing, they would go completely underneath the water and come up. Baptism was an event of submersion. Literally, that's what baptism means, to submerge, to go under. And so baptism was something very physical, something very real, where a person would go under the water in this cleansing, in this being made clean. Turn your Bibles to the book of Colossians 2, verse 12, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It's the fourth book of that small little bunch of books right after 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the book of Colossians, chapter 2. So I guess the question would be, why would somebody want to be submerged underwater? What does that mean? And why would Jesus say that being born of water is so important that it could keep you out of heaven if you're not? Well, it means something. Let's look at some of the meaning here in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Why would anyone want to be baptized? What is the purpose of it? Book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Here's what's interesting about baptism. The Bible says that baptism is burial. That's what it literally, it's to be buried with him. And so literally when you're baptized, you go under the water and something amazing happens. You close your eyes. Now some kids, when they swim, they keep their eyes open in the water. But for the most part, when you're baptized going backwards, most people close their eyes when they're being baptized. The second thing that happens is you stop breathing because it's really hard to breathe underwater. I don't know if you've ever tried, but it's extremely difficult and you will not find a very high rate of success for breathing underwater. And so you stop breathing and you close your eyes and the pastor puts you underneath the water, whether it's for a second or for a minute. While you're under there, you're buried. Literally, you're dead. That's why you go under. Now it's nice that Jesus chose for you to be buried underwater instead of buried under earth. Because being buried under earth means that you're really dead. Buried underwater is a symbolic death. You're buried into the death of Jesus. You are acknowledging that Jesus' death becomes your death. And then when you come up out of the water and you take your first breath, it's like new life. That you've been resurrected from the dead. And now you've been raised to life with Jesus. Because he was raised, you were raised. You're buried, and then you're raised to life. Some people ask me, is it mandatory? I mean, do you have to get baptized? Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 2. Jesus is now gone. He's ascended into heaven. His apostles and disciples and those are beginning to preach and spread the gospel with the whole world. Let's see if we can see in the book of Acts that baptism is still important, still foundational in the church. And let's see if they are using this in part as part of their preaching, as part of their sharing the gospel with the world. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 36. Peter is preaching a sermon. This is after Pentecost. The Spirit has been poured out upon the disciples, and God has just filled him with a message. And he's coming to the end of the message in verse 36 of Acts chapter 2. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I mean, they were convicted. They were touched. They were moved. And they were willing to do whatever God wanted them to do. And the Bible says in the next verse, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when they asked, when they were convicted and they were ready to make any decision that was necessary to follow Jesus, what did Peter say to them was absolutely necessary? That they repent and that they be baptized. So is baptism still? Jesus said it was mandatory in John 3, being born of water. After he's ascended, after he's been dead and raised again, is it still important? Is it still mandatory? Sure it is. Peter says, let every one of you, were they baptized? Were they baptized? Look at verse 40 and 41. And with many words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added to them. How about that? 3,000 people went down to the river and were baptized, following Jesus and his example, and then following the command of the apostle that they should all, every one of them, be baptized upon receiving faith in Jesus. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 8. The book of Acts, chapter 8. The book of Acts, chapter 8. What about, as we keep searching and trying to figure out, what about people who were not of the Jewish faith, were they also invited into baptism. Let's look, not only was this eunuch baptized by Philip, but let's look at the Samaritans, who are a group of people that the Jews did not like very much. Let's look at also verse 12 and 13 of Acts chapter 8, 12 and 13. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. So the Bible says that Philip goes to Samaria, he preaches, he even preaches to a sorcerer. The sorcerer believes, the people in Samaria believe, and they are all baptized. These are non-Jewish people, but they, just like the Jews who believe in Christ, are baptized. Why? Because baptism was for everyone. Baptism was an acknowledgement of faith in Jesus Christ. And we're finding that as soon as people had received Jesus and believed on Jesus, the next step for them to begin their walk was to make that decision to be baptized. Go to Acts chapter 9. What about the Apostle Paul? Was he baptized? I mean, he's such a central role. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. What about him? Look at verse 18 and 19 of the book of Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 18 and 19. The Bible says, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened, and Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. So it's mandatory for the apostles. It's mandatory for Gentiles. What about the Apostle Paul? As soon as he believes, what does he do? As soon as the scales fall off his eyes and the Lord heals him of his blindness, what's the first thing he do as soon as he can see? He goes down to water and he gets baptized in the name of Jesus. He does it immediately because he's passionate and he wants to follow the Lord and he wants to be obedient. Because he know that those who are born of water are the ones who enter the kingdom of God. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 6. Now here's the thing. Book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 1. Some people are immediately going to say to me, but pastor, we have an example in the Bible of someone who is not baptized, but they're going to go to heaven. Because the thief on the cross was hanging there, crucified, and he said, remember me, Lord. And Jesus said, I promise you this day, you're going to be with me in the kingdom of heaven. So there was a promise by Jesus that he would see the kingdom of heaven, even though he wasn't born of water. And that is because we need to understand what it does mean to be born of water. There's meaning in the scripture. This means something when you're baptized. Let's look at what it means. The book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 1. Paul is full of arguments in the book of Romans. Says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So baptism means two things. There are two elements or meaning to baptism. The first part is the element of death. So when you go underneath the water, we already seen that. When you're buried, you're dead. You go under and you come back up. It's symbolic of death. And he says that we have died to sin. That we've died to our old life. The old man is dead. And when we come up out of the water, it's newness of life, resurrection. And so baptism is symbolic of the change that happens in a Christian when they come to faith in Jesus Christ. You see, when a Christian believes in Jesus, they die to their old life of sin. And by faith in Jesus Christ, they have a new life. The Bible says they become born again. They become a new creation. We become made new from the inside out. God changes us. And we become followers and apostles and believers in Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. God makes us new when we believe. Amen? Amen. And that's the beauty of it. So you say, well, what about the thief on the cross then? He was baptized in the heart first. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean that he had died to self, believed on Jesus Christ, and had accepted salvation from Jesus, and therefore he had newness of life even while he was hanging on the cross. So he had the baptism of the heart, but he didn't have time or the physical ability to have the baptism of the water, because the Roman soldiers came over and broke his legs and made sure he died. By breaking his legs, he became too heavy, stretched out on the cross. Eventually, he couldn't breathe, and then he died up there. But he died having faith in Jesus that he would see the kingdom of God one day, that he would see Jesus in a better place. And so, what about this thief on the cross? Well, he was baptized in the heart first. He understood that it was death to my old life, and it was being raised to new life in Jesus. So therefore, every person that wants to be baptized of water must repent of their old life, of their sin, and turn to Jesus for newness of life. The thief had done that. He just hadn't had time to be baptized of the water yet. So that's what baptism literally means, to die to my old life and to be raised to life with Jesus, which is a beautiful thing that God has given the church, a symbolic gesture. Because you know what? Water, baptism doesn't change you. I want you to raise your hand. How many of you, and I want you to really do this, there's some in here maybe who haven't made their decision to be baptized yet. They haven't gone under the watery grave and come back up. Some people are confused about it. Some people think that baptism's like some magic wand, that when you're baptized, you stop struggling afterwards with sin, you become perfect, you become holy, everything becomes wonderful, the Christian walk becomes easy, and everything. How many have found here, raise your hand high, if you found that after you're baptized, everything was perfect and easy, temptation went away, and anybody here? Not even one, huh? I guess baptism is not a magic wand. It doesn't magically change you. The only thing that changes about you is what's inside of you by faith in Jesus Christ. And that happens before you're baptized. The reason why you're baptized is because you want to publicly acknowledge, through death under the water, through being raised to life out of the water, you want to publicly acknowledge what has already happened in your heart through Jesus, through faith. Amen? Amen. So what about the Spirit? We talked about being baptized in water. What does it mean to be baptized in the Spirit? Let's look at some of our verses that we already looked at. Let's look at them again, Matthew chapter 3. And I want you to notice that there is a link in between being baptized in water and being baptized in the Spirit. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. I want you to see that there is a link in between baptism water and baptism of Spirit. Book of Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. What happened when Jesus was baptized? The Holy Spirit came upon him. Not only did he receive water baptism from John, but when he came up out of the water in this newness of life, the Holy Spirit came down and alighted upon him, rested upon him, so that Jesus was also born of the Spirit in that time. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The book of Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Chapter 2, verse 38. We also have already read this verse, but I didn't draw attention to this part of it specifically. Acts 2, 38. Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." How about that? So what does he tell them? You get baptized and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Does he say you might receive the Holy Spirit? No, he was confident. If you repent and are baptized, God is going to give you the Holy Spirit. And power is going to attend you. And you will preach and you will share with others. That's why the Holy Spirit was given. That's what Pentecost was. It was the power for the apostles and the disciples to be able to go forward and share the message of the kingdom of God so that others might be converted to the gospel. Why did Jesus receive the Holy Spirit at his baptism? What was he about to do? He was about to enter the work of the preaching of the gospel. And you don't do that without the Holy Spirit. Because it will be without impact. It will be without effect. Because it's not my words that changes anyone's heart. There are no words that can change anybody's mind. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that changes a person. And it only happens through the Holy Spirit's power. And so the Holy Spirit is given for the preaching of the gospel. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Here's a story where Peter goes to preach in the house of Gentiles. His name is Cornelius. And God gives him a dream, and Peter goes against his will to see what God wants to do. And he discovers something new in this story. The book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 42. The book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 42. Peter's preaching, and he says, "And he, Jesus, commanded us disciples to preach to the people," verse 42, "and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes on him will receive the remission of sins." By the way, are you seeing that there's a common theme of what the apostles preached? That it's through Jesus that we find the forgiveness of sins. Amen? Verse 44, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard." Have they been baptized yet? Have they? They've not been baptized yet by water. And yet, what is God doing? He's baptizing them with the Holy Spirit first. So do you have to be baptized by water to receive the baptism of the Spirit? No. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit first. These brothers did. And when did they receive it? When they heard from Peter, lifting up Jesus as the forgiveness of sins, pointing to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. It was then that the Holy Spirit fell upon everyone who was listening, because they were convicted in their heart, and these Gentiles were like, "I want that! I want Jesus!" And God, the Holy Spirit, verse 45, "And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." They were amazed because they didn't believe that God would give the Holy Spirit to Gentiles. They were uncircumcised, messed up in their life. But hey, guess what? God gives the Spirit to whoever believes on Jesus Christ. That's what we're finding out. When you believe, God pours out a Spirit. Verse 47. Peter answers, "Can anyone forbid water?" Oh, wait a minute. Now, why is he asking this question? Maybe it was argued a little bit in Jerusalem that maybe Gentiles should not be baptized. Maybe it was only for Jews. But here Peter is saying, "Can you forbid water? That these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Ghost just as we are?" And he commanded them to be baptized. And so they received their water baptism. But they first heard the gospel and received the Holy Spirit. So you don't even need to be baptized by water to receive the Holy Spirit in your life. God can pour it out of Spirit if he so chooses. And he did upon these Gentiles. He just poured himself into them. And they just started to show the gifts of the Holy Spirit in their life. God attended with power these Gentiles as they began to do the work that God gave them to do. Flip over to Acts chapter 19. Flip over to Acts chapter 19. Now let me stop here. There were a few different groups of people that we've been talking about. Let me name them off for you. Number one, there are people that have not been baptized by water, and there are people that have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Would you agree with me? We see a group of these in Cornelius' house. Peter shows up. They have not received the Holy Spirit. They have not been baptized by water. But after Peter leaves, they've received the Holy Spirit and they're baptized by water. Amen? There's a second group of people. They're the people who have been baptized by water and they're full of the Holy Spirit. And these are the people, Peter, he went out and preached. Why? He had been baptized by water and he had received the Holy Spirit. That's the goal. That's the ideal. But there are two other groups in the middle of them. There's people like the thief on the cross. Never got an opportunity to be baptized by water. But he was baptized by the Spirit. Because when he believed on Jesus Christ, God put his seal upon him. God assured him that his faith meant that he could trust and believe that he would have eternal life. And God sealed him for that. And gave a guarantee, you will see me in the kingdom of heaven. We're going to meet next to the river, next to the tree of life. The next thing you're going to see is me coming in the clouds of heaven. And you will be caught up to me. And we will go together to that kingdom that you believe in. That's powerful stuff. But he was not baptized of water, but he was baptized of the Spirit of God. And then we find another group of people. We find another group of people here in Acts 19 who have been baptized of water, but they have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's look. Acts 19. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, verse 1, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said to him, "Into John's baptism." So Paul shows up in Ephesus. He finds a group of disciples. They're believers. They're worshiping. He finds them on the Sabbath day. And he begins to connect with them. And he starts to ask them. He says, "You know, brother, what are you doing here? Who are you?" "Oh, we're believers." "That's great. We've been baptized." "Me too," Paul says. "Praise the Lord." But Paul's like, "There's something wrong with you. There's something not right. I mean, I'm following you all the way through this. You're disciples. You've been baptized. But there's something missing." And he asked them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" Isn't that such a strange question? Are you afraid that someone might ask you that one day? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? What does that imply? It implies there's something wrong with you. Okay? Here Paul meets up with a bunch of guys, and the first thing he says to him is, "Hey, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And you're like, "What do you mean? We haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. What's that?" So here's a group of people who were baptized by water because they took a trip to Jerusalem one year. They heard about John the Baptist in the wilderness. They went out to him, and they were baptized by John. But they left and went back to Ephesus before they had even heard the name of Jesus. They didn't know what the Holy Spirit was. They had simply been baptized of John and began to meet regularly together to worship God. And that was it. And years had passed in between Paul's visit to Ephesus and their visit to Jerusalem. And they had never even heard of Jesus. Let's see what happens to this group that were baptized by water but not baptized in spirit. Verse 4. Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to those people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." This is the first time they're hearing the gospel. Verse 5. "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now you say, wait a minute, they were already baptized with water. But remember, water represents the death and the resurrection that we have with Jesus Christ. We enter into Jesus' death and we die with him. Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet it is not I, but it's Christ who lives in me." That's Galatians 2:20. So the Bible teaches that when we believe and we're baptized, we're entering into Jesus' death. And we're raised with him into life. And this was the first time that they were hearing this message. And they were so excited about hearing about Jesus, they went and they were born again of water. But that's not all. Because it wouldn't end there for true believers. For true believers, water baptism is not enough. Because the Bible says in verse 6, when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke with tongues and prophesied, and the men were about 12 in all. Have you ever wondered how did Paul know that they had not received the Holy Spirit? Because their church had been meeting there for all those years, and they were still only 12 people. You see, the Holy Spirit is given for the purpose of evangelism, for the purpose of preaching the gospel. The Holy Spirit isn't given so that you can feel good. The Holy Spirit isn't just given so that you can have warm fuzzies or show miracles in your life. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is for others. And when Paul sees that after all those years of them traveling to Jerusalem and being baptized by John, that there was still only 12 people worshiping, that their church hadn't grown in all those years. You know what he said? These guys don't have the Holy Spirit. Because where the Holy Spirit is, God's people are growing. because the gospel is growing, because the gospel is being preached, because people's lives are being changed, because the church cannot help it. The gospel will go forward, and the message and the church will grow, because more people will hear it and be changed and be transformed. You might be asking yourself at this time, which group am I in? Maybe you've never been baptized of water. And maybe looking at your life, you're thinking, I can't say I've ever been baptized in the Spirit either. Maybe there are some here today who have been baptized of water, but you're looking back on your life and you're thinking, I don't remember ever receiving the Holy Spirit in my life. I've been kind of selfish. And I've never even seen my witness affect anybody's life. I think I need the Holy Spirit. There may be some here that have received God's Spirit, but you're convicted today because you see that all the followers of Jesus who received the Spirit of God were baptized by water. Maybe in the past you were sprinkled by water. Maybe someone poured oil on you. I've heard stories of people being baptized in tubs full of rose petals. I've heard of people, there was a church out on the East Coast that rented a fire truck. It was a Pentecostal church, and they sprayed water all over their congregation and baptized them all in one day. But you see, none of these fitly remind us or give the example of death being buried and resurrection. The only one that really fits is the baptism by immersion, where you go under the water and come up. Being sprinkled by water doesn't fit being buried underwater. None of these do. That's why the Bible is very specific about what baptism is. And the Bible calls us to be baptized. So maybe you've received Jesus in your heart and you love him, but you've never made that decision to be baptized by immersion. It's time. Because we need to be born of water and of spirit, of both. Or maybe, praise God today, you're looking back on your experience, and when you gave your heart to Jesus, you were baptized by immersion, praise God, and the Holy Spirit came upon you, and you've been a preacher of his righteousness. You've been sharing his love with others, and you've seen fruit to God's glory of other people coming to Christ because of your impact. That's a beautiful thing. Which group are you in? Where do you rest? I pray, it's my prayer today, that if you're in group one, no water, no spirit, I just pray that the Lord would just convict you. Just get inside your heart and make you just in your heart say, I'm ready. I want to follow Jesus. Get baptized. Receive the Holy Spirit. Come to Jesus. Don't hold back. Maybe you're here today and you've been baptized by water, but you're looking back on it and you think, my life's a mess. I never made that. I never got the decision right. I need the Holy Spirit. And friends, maybe you might even need to get rebaptized in water like these brothers in Acts 19, because you realize, you know, it's time to commit myself to Christ like that. Or maybe you're in the third position. Maybe you've received Jesus and you love him and you're witnessing him, but you've never been baptized of water, publicly showing that you have died with Christ and been raised with him. Maybe that's the decision you need to make today. I don't know. But I'm praying that God would convict you to get to the ideal, to get to the place where God wants you. Because in John 3 it says that we must be born of water and of spirit to enter the kingdom of God. And how many want to enter the kingdom of God today? I do. I want to be. I want to make sure that we have both of water and of spirit. Oh, church, God help us to be full of the Spirit of God and to follow him in every step of the way, even in baptism, that we would follow God the whole way. Would you please kneel in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, blessed be your name. You are an awesome God. And you have done wonderful things in our lives. Every one of us can think of how you have protected us and blessed us. And what can we say but thank you and praise you? For you are glorious and you are worthy of our worship and praise. There are some here this morning, Father, who are convicted. There's something that they need to do. And they're realizing that their experience or is not in harmony with the Word of God. Maybe it's the decision they need to be baptized by immersion. Maybe it's the decision that they need to step up to the plate and come to you for your Holy Spirit that they may accomplish the work that you have called them to do. Maybe their lives have felt empty and spiritless, and maybe, God, they need to come to you for the Holy Spirit. But if there's someone here this morning that would like to just raise their hand and say, I'm missing something this morning, and I need you, God, I need your help, would you just raise your hand to heaven? Maybe you're saying, I know it's the Holy Spirit, Lord. It's my prayer, God, that you would give the Holy Spirit to those with their hands raised. Maybe someone here is raising their hand saying, God, I need your water baptism. I pray, God, that you would give them the courage to come forward and say, I'm ready to be baptized by water. I pray that you would do that, Lord. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Father, you hear the cry of our hearts. We want to be right with you. We want to follow you the whole way, Lord. And Lord, don't leave us where we're at. Struggle with us and wrestle with us. And you lead us. You lead us to that place, Lord, where we're walking in your will and your ways. We want to thank you ahead of time, God, for bringing us into harmony with your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I hope through faith to be justified and have peace with God through his Son who died. Lord, lift me up into your light. An holy mountain in me. Lord, give me faith to say and believe that what I ask for and pray, Lord, without a doubt, I know I'll receive. Oh. And on your mountain, my faith will grow. Where streams of living water flow. And I will cast all my burdens down from your mountain's holy ground now. An holy mountain in me will give me faith to say and believe that what I ask for in prayer, Lord, without a doubt, I know, I know, I know.